Time for us to talk basketball as we're joined by John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey there, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. Reading your piece up today at Boston Sports Journal, and it's really interesting because, well, you know, I think everybody, we have this human trait, I guess, of sentimentalizing the past and thinking that things were always better when we were younger, and that certainly applies to sports. But as you say, just because things are different in the NBA today, it doesn't mean that players aren't working hard and aren't as competitive as the old guard was.
Yeah, and this comes from Paul Pierce being one of many voices saying that there's, you know, it doesn't see the competitive spirit in these guys, and it stems from how much money they're making. And like, you can look at somebody like Jason Tatum, and it's possible, depending on how long he plays, but when you factor in his endorsements and his NBA contracts, Jason Tatum has the potential to make $1 billion by the time, you know, gross earnings by the time he retires, which is an insane amount of money. And I think times are just different, right? Like, if I had just signed a Jaylen Brown $300 million extension, I would spend some of my July doing all kinds of crazy exotic things, traveling the world and enjoying myself, right? Like, but that doesn't mean you can't work hard. Doesn't mean that you're not driven to be the best. But we look at the past, and like, some of those guys just never had this option. And some of the players of the past, you know, there's no social media. We didn't see where Larry Bird vacationed. We didn't see a lot of the things that were happening at nights, at clubs, at bars. We didn't see any of that stuff, right? But so I just think we do romanticize the past a lot. And you know, guys like Larry especially is a great example for me because he did like to go to a bar. He got into a bar fight ahead of the 1985 finals and hurt his hand and didn't perform well enough in the 85 finals. And the Celtics lost. If that happened today, oh, my God, can you imagine? But that stuff is kind of hidden. All we see is the stuff, the good stuff that we remember. And nowadays, these guys are so rich, and we see them all over social media. Very easy to say, oh, Jaylen Brown has time to be on the yacht, but he doesn't have time to work on his dribbling. There's 16 hours awake a day. I think he can spend a couple of hours a yacht and still dribble a basketball for a little while. So it's an interesting kind of scenario. I'm really fascinated by the human nature element of it all, but just because their lives are different and they have these opportunities doesn't mean they aren't working and trying to become better basketball players.
Well, and I always laugh too when people say, I don't want to see players hugging guys from the other team. They should be bitter enemies and you shouldn't even look that guy in the eye. But that's not the reality. And, you know, maybe it was, but I'm not even sure it was that way. Because even back in the good old days, hey, in the off season, guys would go fishing together. They'd do this and that. They weren't always the enemies that they portrayed themselves as being.
Yeah, no, that's not how things work. It's just not. Like, I get it, but people, they watch sports because of the fantasy of it all. Mm. And, you know, once upon a time, there's the once upon a time thing where rivalries were tougher because there wasn't free agency. Right, there weren't private coaches. There weren't the same level of sponsors, the shoe deals that, you know, teams had shoe deals, and that kind of stuff has changed over time. The mid '80s, like Kiki Vandeweghe was the first real free agent. That's not that long ago. Those guys in the '80s, they kind of hated each other because they were always on the same teams. The Sixers, the Celtics, the Lakers, when they met up, teams were basically the same, and they were just kind of tired of going against each other. Now, Jason Tatum has the same agent as, you know, however many other guys. He has the same private coach as however many other guys. They, you know, he's a Jordan guy, and so however many other Jordan athletes there are at retreats and going to places. So you get to know these other guys. You know, Larry and Magic became friends over a Converse commercial. So I kind of don't want to hear the, oh, these guys are chummy. The two most bitter rivals in Celtics and Lakers history, Magic and Larry, became friends on the set of a shoe commercial. That set the tone. That's when guys get together and they get to know each other, they become friends. And so that's just how it is. These guys are there. It's a job. You don't hate. You don't go up there and want to punch the next radio host. Maybe you do. I don't know. But you know, you generally have everybody's in this together. We're trying to work a job. You don't know who's going to be your teammate one day and not, you know, a rival the next. No one thought that Marcus Smart was going to be on a different team going into next season when last season ended. So are they supposed to hate Marcus Smart now? Like, of course not. But I get it. This is, people want to live in a fantasy world, and this is part of the fantasy. You know, it's us against them. We hate those rivals. People like who live here are here for life, right?
Right.
You're a Boston fan. You're a Boston fan for life. So you want that same level of passion from these other guys. It's just different. It's not wrong that they have these other things going on. And it's not wrong that you listening at home who, you know, have pictures of Larry and Kevin and all these guys on your wall, like that's fine to have that passion. It's just, I just understand that it's different for these guys.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. John, what should Celtics fans be more concerned with, the Porzingis injury or Malcolm Brogdon's injury?
Yeah, I am still kind of leaning towards the Brogdon injury, but the Porzingis injury, because it's first of all, it's not necessarily an injury, right? It's
right.
Brogdon's is an injury. He hurt a tendon in his elbow that goes into his forearm, and that needs to heal. The issue with Porzingis is plantar fasciitis, which is more of a condition, right? It's an overuse injury. And so that's not like the injury in that there's a trauma. You get hit or something turns and something rips. Like the plantar fasciitis just kind of develops over time and, you know, because of the way the foot moves. So I can make a case for each, but because Brogdon, I think, because it was an injury, you want to make sure that it heals right. You want to make sure that there was no need for surgery. I think that's a little bit more concerning. Plantar fasciitis has a history of, you know, being able to be managed. But whenever somebody's 7'3" and they got a foot issue, it is always going to be scary. But if they follow the plan, if they follow the right plan, that should be able to be managed. And we'll have to see, I think, at the beginning of the season. But I feel a little more comfortable with the rest and ice and get him the right inserts for his shoes and get him off his feet or at least in a walking boot for a little while type of thing. So I'll go with that.
Now that you've had a chance to take a closer look at it, what are your thoughts on the Celtics schedule?
Well, you know, as Larry said, 41 home, 41 away looks good to me. they have a few long road trips, though. I think March is going to be a bear.
So yeah, what is it, just I think, five home games in the month of March?
Yeah, and 11 road games. And a 12th, if you go into April 1st, that ends that six-game road trip, the longest road trip of the season. So that's going to be tough. I'm very curious to see how that plays out because the Celtics have an opportunity early on. There's a little bit more of a home-heavy schedule early on. You get into the All-Star break, and then you come out of it, you get a little bit of a relaxed kind of reentry, and then, boom, here comes March, and you've got to survive. It's the last gauntlet to run. But not only is it a gauntlet, it's at a time where players are going to start ramping up minutes, and there's going to be rest involved, and it's going to be hard to kind of judge who's going to be available for how long, and you know, when. And then the good side, if there's any good news, they come out of it with a stretch of, I think, five or six home games out of their last seven where they can, if they're in a battle for seeding and they want to make a late run, I do think there's an opportunity there with a bunch of home games against some, at least at this point, looks like a little bit lower competition. they have a chance to make a little bit of a run there. But overall, you know, an average number of back-to-backs, they have 14, an average number of miles to be traveled. And when it comes to rest day advantages, where they have more rest than the other team, they have 16 in their favor, 11 against them. So that plus five differential is actually most in the league. So they have a schedule that gives them a little bit of an advantage as far as going into games with more rest than their opponent. So other than March and that really long road trip to end that month, I think the Celtics might look at this, and obviously it depends on the competition, they might look at it as not a bad schedule at all.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks so much as always. Have a good week. We'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then.
Talking basketball with John every single Tuesday on the program.